Good morning. It's good to see you this morning here in person. And if you're joining us from home, we are glad that you are a part of what our family here is doing this morning. I'm Billy McClune. I'm part of the leadership team here. And we've also got Gordon, and we've got Andrea, we've got Heather, we've got Jen, we've got Dave, Derek, Neil over there, and Chris and Phil are up there. And Heather and Alison are going to later on. Heather is going to lead us as we think prayerfully. And Alison is going to read God's word as we listen to it. And then after all of that, Ben is going to come and explain God's word and teach us how it applies to us today. But each of us, whether we've come with a special job to do today or not, we have each come together here to be together, to worship God together, and in this place and with each other. Psalm 36 reminds us about some of the reasons why we come. Here's what it says: how precious or how special is your constant love. So we find protection under the shadow of your wing. We feast on the abundant food that you provide. And you are the source of all life. And because of your light, we see light. Just before he wrote those words, he had been painting some word pictures in Psalm 36. See if you can call them to mind. He thought about a sky that you couldn't see the end of. And he described God's love in that way. He thought of the mountains that were high and the ocean that was deep. And he talked about God's never-ending faithfulness, God's total goodness, God's always doing the right thing, justice. As we come to worship this morning, we come to worship that big God. We're going to sing some words from another psalm, from Psalm 103. And it starts with a call to praise the Lord. It's a sort of shout out. It says, bless the Lord, all of you from your head to your toe. And don't forget all of God's blessings. So let's think about those blessings as we sing about the possibilities and the opportunities each new day brings us. So we think about the reassurance of forgiveness when we realize we haven't lived in the way that God has intended us. And we were reminded of the lifelong, never-ending, never-giving-up faithfulness of our God.
Oh, my soul, worship.
Okay, I thought we could have a quiz this morning. Quizzes are our sort of thing at the moment. We'll have a quiz. Okay, now, don't worry, this is not a difficult quiz. All of the answers are either yes or no, okay? The tricky bit is you have to say the answer at the same time. So here's a practice, okay? So if the question was dogs are better than cats, okay? Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but if you're sitting over this side, let's make the answer no. And if you're sitting over on that side, the answer is no. If you're sitting in the middle, the answer is yeah. Okay, so here's how the quiz works. The question is, dogs are better than cats, and your answer is
yes.
Yeah, that worked, that worked. Now, the difference now is, the next time we do it, the people on either side of you might be saying a different thing than you're saying. So you've got to shout it out loud. Don't listen to what they're saying. You've got to get yours out there. Okay? And now we better work out who's going to play. Let's see. Okay. I thought of a fair way to sort everybody out. So, if you were about the size of that, and you could walk through a door that was about that height, like about the same size as maybe a sheep. If you looked a sheep in the eye, could you stand up if you think you could walk under that and you could be in the quiz? Anybody that sort of size? I think there, yeah, one or two, yeah, a few people that sort of size. Quick check. Oh, yes. Is there only one person playing? We better raise the standard a wee bit. Okay, if you think you could stand under something about that size, let's see, what would that be? That'd be a cow? Big dog? Big dog. Okay, if you think you could stand under that, would you stand up so that you can join in? Yeah, come on, a few people standing up. Yes, Abigail's definitely joining in. Oh, yeah, girls, definitely. Anybody over there joining in? Oh, yeah, a few down there. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Okay. We're going to have to get some more people in. Okay. Supposing you were this height. You could join in. Quick, stand up. You think you could join in if you're about that height. Oh, yeah, girls, well done. Yeah. Oh, we're getting more people in here. Run out of pool. Hold on. Okay. If you think you're about that height and could get underneath that, on your feet, let's see who's in the quiz. Oh, yeah, we're doing much better. All right. Okay. Okay, Chris, where are you? Yes, Alistair. Chris. Oh, yes, right. Glad I got everybody in. Right, okay. So this is an everybody in sort of quiz. Okay, you can have a seat. Wouldn't want to leave anybody out. Now, question, remember what the rules are? It's not no, no, and yes in the middle. It's what you think the answer is. Okay, question one. Your teeth are as strong as a shark's teeth. And the answer is
yes.
There's definitely quite a lot of yeses there. Some no's. And the answer is yes, they are that strong. Okay, question two. Okay, your brain does more work when you're sleeping than when you're wide awake.
Yes.
Oh, that worries me a little bit, that one. Okay, right. The smallest muscle in your body. No asking questions of people beside you. The smallest muscle in your body is in your little finger. And the answer is?
Yes.
No. It's actually in your ear. And, okay, last one. You use more muscles when you frown than when you smile.
Yes.
And the answer is? You use more muscles just to frown than to smile. It's easier to smile than to frown. Okay, you're doing pretty well. You've certainly got to get. So the last round is the picture round. Okay? Tried to get a world-renowned artist to draw this, but unfortunately none were available. Oops. Now, question one. This doesn't have a yes or no answer, by the way. Question one. Could anybody tell me what that is supposed to be? Do you know what that's supposed to be? What do you think, Abigail? A person. Well, that's a relief. That's the first. Yes, it's supposed to be a person. Now, have a careful look and tell me if you think there's anything missing. What do you think's missing, Holly? A face? Well, could you have a wee bit more detail on what that might be? Yes, shout out. Sorry? Skin? Yes, it is missing a bit of skin. That was a bit hard to draw. Joshua? Hands are missing, and he said another one. What else is missing? Feet? There's no hands. There's no feet. And what about this face? Can we what are we looking for? When we're looking for a face, what are we really looking for in there? Yes. What are we looking for? Eyes. We're looking for eyes. And what else might we be looking for? Ears. And a mouth. No eyes, no ears, no mouth, no hands, no feet. That's the bad news. But the good news is that there are some people who've got spare ones. So would you just like to wave the spare ones if you've got them? Thank you, Johnny. Yes. Oh, good, 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 good. Could the JCB team go around and maybe could they collect some eyes? See if they can find me some eyes, first of all. Come on, JCBers. Go on, move your feet. Quick, quick, go and find me some eyes. Stay on your feet because there's other things to find. Eyes, eyes, eyes. Well done. Johnny, could you pick some of those and stick a pair of eyes about sort of eye level up there? Right, okay. Girls, hang on. We now need to find ears. See if we can find some ears. Some people with ears. There's ears over there. Thomas Compton has a particularly good nose because he was looking at his dad when he was drawing it. Somebody go and collect that one over there. Come on, girls, quick, over there. There's ears over there. And we now need to go and find a mouth. Okay, who's got a mouth? Put a mouth up there, yes. And there's some extra ears. Bring those up to Johnny. Anybody got any spare hands? Yeah, Julie's got some spare hands. Noah's got some hands there. Can somebody go and get Julie's hands down there? Lewis, hands. And, oh, feet. Who has got the feet? Hay's got some feet there, spare. Feet, 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 feet. Any feet? No, Hay's got one. Somebody, yes, Jean's got a foot down there. There'll be a foot down the back. Amy, run down and get a foot there. Noah, wait down there. Run and get a foot. Oh, and Robert Clark's got a spare foot. Lois, Robert Clark's got a spare foot down there. Run. Got everything? Yeah. Oh, whoop. Oh, there's a foot. Yeah. Spare hand. Look, we've got more than we need. Well, you put those up there. We need those two. Right, we've got them all. Now, the question is, have a look carefully at the picture and then have a look around and see if there's anybody sitting close to you that would just remind you of that. Yeah. We are amazing. God has made us of lots of different parts. What do you need your eyes for? What do you do with your eyes? You see You see all sorts of things around you, and you see all the people who are around you. What do you need your ears for? Yes, to listen and to hear what people are saying to you. What do you need your mouth for? They've all gone quiet. You need it to speak and to shout. And what about hands? What do you do with hands? Hands help us to do work, to do things. And feet, well, they take us to the places that we need to go to do the things that our hands need to do. Because we've heard with our ears the things that people need our help with. So we're amazing. We've got all those bits, pieces, and some things we can't see inside here. We've got a brain that helps us think. And we've got a heart that helps us love. And God has made us with all of those different parts. And this morning, when we started off with some missing bits, we discovered that all around we had lots of things that we could use to build this up. Here's the thing. The Bible tells us that we, all of us together, are like a body with lots of different parts. And all the parts work together. They're connected together. They belong together. And they have to work together. In just the same way as the eyes are no good just on their own, and the hands are no good without the feet, we have to go. So we, together, each one of us this morning, are that body. And we call it the church. Now, you don't have to, if you wanted to see the church, you don't have to go outside and look at the building, because it's not the building. All you have to do is look that way and look that way at all the people who are around you. That's the body that we are all a part of. And God has given each of us work that he wants us to do. And when our body is healthy and strong and growing, all of the bits of it work together. And when our church family and that body is working well, each of us have important things to do, from the very smallest to the very tallest. We're all different, but we all have something that we have to bring and to do, and God has given us those important things to do. So we are part of God's body here in Saintfield Road. I think we're going to sing, but before we do, maybe let's just stop and think one other question. What sort of things could you do? What's in your mind now? What could you do? Well, you could use your ears to hear what people need. You could use your hands to help them. You could use your time to make a friend. You could make sure that people aren't left out. You could comfort people who are sad. And sometimes you could use your voice to say sorry when maybe you've done things that have made people sad. So let's stop for a moment and ask God to help us think about what we could do to be part of that body. Father God, we thank you that you have made us and we are amazing. But we thank you that we are an amazing family together, part of your church. We ask you to help us not to be selfish, but to be able to look around and see the people around us and what they need. Help us to use the time and the energy that we have to do practical things to help people when we can. Lord, we ask that you would help us to think and to love each other because you have loved us first. Amen. We're going to sing a song. It's not a song about caring for each other. It's a song that actually makes us think why we care for each other. Because it reminds us of the things that God has done, first of all, for us.
Morning. Good morning. Lovely to see you. Billy, thank you very much for leading us in the first part of our worship. We're all in together. Folks, thanks for leading us in our praise. It's really helpful. Thank you. Lovely to see folks this morning. Let me just give you a few announcements or notices. The first is just to say a big thank you to all those who came yesterday evening. We had an Exodus table quiz fundraiser for, as we were hearing last week, nine young people, including Dave in that, nine young people who are going to five different places, all associated with our church, with Exodus. It was really great evening last night, just in supporting them and doing fundraising. It's tremendous fun and really well organized. Thank you, Dave, and to others for that. We heard from lots of them. I think with money still flowing in, we're going to break the £1,000 mark. So that's a great encouragement and support for all those guys. So thanks for organizing that, and thanks for coming and supporting that. Also, just to let you know, we had a bit of fun during the week when the elections were happening here. We were giving out coffee and tea and chocolates. Not a few cups of coffee and tea, a lot of chocolate and sweets were consumed by people coming to vote, and really appreciate it. It's good just to put a little face of joy and happiness on the elections, isn't it, as a church, and say we're here at the heart of community, and gives people a chance to chat and make something quite functional into something a bit more social. Just a couple of things to mention coming up. Friday Cafe, it's life group weeks, life group tonight and this week, so life groups this evening and during the week, and Friday Cafe on Friday. And then to remind those in Tuesday break and others who want to join, the ice cream tour is happening on the 6th of June. We're heading to the Creamery Can and seeing around the production of ice cream there and getting an ice cream sundae at the end of it too. So do remember that. Do get a form of Gene or Fred. And there's some in the hub there, and fill that out. We'd love to get a sense of numbers, even if you can't fill that out or give your money today, do let them know and we get a sense of who's coming. That would be great. Just two to look ahead, all those involved in youth and children leadership, John and Jill would love to gather you all and say thank you with food on the 8th of June. That's 6:30 to 7:45. So it's an informal gathering with jazz, Johnny, fabulous, with jazz, and to celebrate some highlights from the last year. So do just register. You can do that online or with Johnny or Jill to help them know who's coming to that. This past week's been Christian Aid Week. We talked about that last week and watched a video, and the envelopes are still out. Thanks to all those who've kindly donated and supported that. And do that today if you want to, and do fill out the back so you can claim. We can claim gift aid for that. There's going to be a sponsored walk as well on the 11th of June. For all those who are up for a walk up Sleeve Croob, you can see the details there on the announcement and get a form or speak to Ian about that. And that money raised will go to Christian Aid and to Tear Fund as well. That's all our announcements, I think. We're going to come to our reading and our prayers. As Billy said earlier, Ali's going to read to us from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 18, and Heather is then going to pray and lead us in our prayers.
Holy and pleasing to God, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to that which is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Amen.
Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father God, as we approach you now in prayer, we give you thanks that you are sovereign over all, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nothing is too big for you, but nothing is too small either. Thank you that although you are Creator God, who formed the universe and flung the stars into space, you are deeply concerned about us. Thank you that your love took you to the cross. Thank you that you are also our shepherd through life, that you guide us to green pastures, you lead us to still waters. You restore our souls. You are with us through the darkest of days. Your rod and your staff comfort us. In Ezekiel, you remind us that you yourself search for your sheep and look after them. You search for the lost and bring back the strays. You bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But Lord, as your followers, you call us to do the same, to journey with people through life, to draw alongside them and offer hope, comfort, and support, to walk with them through the darkest of days, to bind up the injured and bring strength to the weak. We've just heard the words from Romans, telling us to be transformed, to be devoted to one another in love. Lord, help us to do this. Help us to be devoted to each other in our church family here at SRPC. Help us rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn. So, Father, just at this time, we take a moment of silence to pray for those known to us who are mourning the loss of a loved one or who are walking a dark and difficult path at present. We pray that whatever storm they are experiencing right now, that they would know you to be Lord of all. May they know your comfort and love at this time. What a privilege and blessing it is to share in each other's lives. But we're sorry for the times when we are selfish and put our own needs above those of other people's. Lord, forgive us. And may we always be reminded to look to you, the servant king, who came not to be served, but to serve. Lord, transform us and teach us to serve each other's needs before our own. As Ben comes shortly to speak to us about pastoral care amongst our own church family here, we pray that we would be open to hearing your voice through what he has to say. And may we all recognize that we all have a role to play in caring for each other. We give you thanks for the many, many people in Saintfield Road who do this on a daily basis. As Pete Gregg, the co-founder of 24/7 Prayer, said just yesterday, may we lay down our lives day by day to bind up broken hearts, make disciples, and bless a messed up world. Help us all bring blessing to one another. Lord, we thank you that as our shepherd, you lead us and guide us, that you have a plan for each of our lives. As the P7 children got their school places yesterday, we pray especially for those in our church family who were finding out. We rejoice with those that got into the school of their choice. But for those who did not, who are perhaps sad and disappointed, may they know that you are still in control and they can trust your plan. Help them to look to you and trust you with the future. Give them the comfort and confidence they need at this time and help their parents to support them in the right way. And Lord, what we pray for the P7s, we also pray for all those older students in our church family sitting exams at this time. We pray for those sitting GCSE papers, AS and A2 exams, as well as those at university. Lord, may each of them know that you are in control and have a plan for their lives. Take away any nerves or anxiety and bring to their recall all they have learned. Help them to settle and focus on their revision over these long weeks so that they can do their very best for your glory. But help them to relax too and manage their time well. Bless each of them, Lord, we pray. Lord, we bring before you the partnership with Beaver. We're excited by this wonderful opportunity, but we pray that you would continue to guide and lead us. Father, we pray especially for Ben, Alistair and Brian, the two clerks of session, as they meet with the Linkage Commission on Tuesday to seek permission and money to call an associate minister. Father, we pray that you would prepare the way, guide the conversation, and that if this is truly your will, this meeting will go smoothly and both permission and money will be granted. Lord, we also pray for Andrew Ferguson and his family as they prepare to join us in June. Remove any nervousness from him and help us to warmly welcome him, Rachel and Nathaniel into our church family here. And finally, Father, we pray for Heather. We thank you that she has landed safely. We pray for her as she prepares to lead staff training in the upcoming days. We pray that you would continue to make her pain-free, and we pray that these health issues would not hinder her work for you. We pray that she would know your presence close to her in these days and bless the work you have called her to do. All these things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Ali. Thank you, Heather. We are, as Heather was saying, as we were praying, as Billy's been kind of teeing us up for, thinking about the body and being the family and every part counting. As I was saying last week, and I'll refer back to, we're thinking about pastoral care this morning and what it is to care for one another. I'm going to come to that in a moment or two. But before we do, before we think about our love for and our care for one another, we're going to sing Cornerstone, about the one on whom we are built, the one who has loved us. So let's stand and sing together Cornerstone before we think further. Let's just pray again together, shall we? Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are the cornerstone of our lives, the rock on which our hope is built, the strength in our weakness. And Lord, we pray now that as you speak to us and you speak to us through your word and you speak to us about care, our care for one another, that all that will be rooted in the love that you have first shown us. Lord, speak to us about your love for us, our love for one another, and may that love flow to others, that they too may see and know hope and healing and wholeness and life together with you. We pray as we look to you and listen to your Spirit. Amen. So I want to do something a little bit different this morning, and that is speak about pastoral care. And what you should have as you came in is one of these bits of paper. Give me a wave. Wave your bit of paper at me. See everybody's got one. If you don't have one, Alistair's got some at the back there. And that is my sermon outline. So on one hand, you can just, you know, close your eyes now for about, whatever, 45 minutes. And, no, it won't be that long. And take this away. But what I want you to do is to have this and follow through. And then you can have one or two slides on for maybe pictures that are easier to see on the TV, on the screens. But do take this and follow this along. If you are joining us at home and you're thinking, I don't have one of these bits of paper, you can actually access one on the website if you go to the homepage of our website, and you can download that just beneath the screen that's got that's advertising this service. So it's there, or do let us know if you want one sent to you, or you can pick one up from the office. We can sort that out. But not only is kind of follow through what I say today, but something to take away and reflect on and think about, and a bit of information. Let me begin with another prop, and that is, you'll remember that we had these pen pots at the start of the year, and these triangular pen pots, and they reminded us not only that we're about life together with Jesus, this is what we're about here at Saintville Road, but that has kind of three dynamics, the up, and the in, not that you can see from here if I turn it to the right one, and the out, about loving God, the God who loves us and our love for him, up, about our love for one another, in, and about our love for others as that flows out. And of course, all those three are joined together as the love of God flows in to us. We love one another and love others. And if you want a great lesson in needing to be rooted in the love of God and things needing to be joined up, Phil came up here just a minute ago and plugged in the microphone. And that's why it now works. Great. Well, and Phil, things need to be rooted and plugged in to work, us to God and to one another. But what I want us to think about particularly this morning is this in section, our pastoral care, our love for one another. It's something that Session and the elders have been thinking about a lot over the past year or two, thinking about our pastoral care, putting a lot of reflection into that and work and thought. And not just the elders, but a group, a task group of a number of different people from the congregation using their gifts and skills. I'm really grateful for them and for the reflection they've put in over the course of a number of months. And what you'll see on the sheet and what I want to say to you is really me copying and pasting a lot of what was said there and a lot of other people's work. So I'm grateful for that. And it's a great example, I suppose, of teamwork, people using gifts, which is something I want to come back to again this morning in how we further the work and the purpose of our church. But as we think about life together with Jesus, as we think about pastoral care, let me begin with that question. What is pastoral care? What is pastoral care? Why should we care? Why should we care what it is? Why should we care for one another? And perhaps I might begin with that little definition that's on there. It's Christ-like love in action. When we show the love of Jesus, like Jesus would to others, in the things we say and do. That's going to be a very straightforward way of thinking about it. And it comes, we'll come back to this diagram in a minute, it comes from this little definition. But I wonder, just as you sit there for a moment, think about what you think pastoral care is. When you hear that phrase, and we talk about it not just in church, but in schools and all over, what do you think pastoral care is? Where have you experienced pastoral care? What does Christ-like love in action look like in your experience? As we have that, the body here, that was quite a good reminder that actually It could look like a whole number of things, couldn't it? It could look like listening to someone. It could look like noticing someone, including someone. It could look like simply being with someone, praying with them. Writing them a note because you're thinking about them, sending them a text. Maybe it looks like practically using your hands to help them out in a situation, responding in a time of need with them, drawing alongside. Maybe reading the Bible with some, visiting when they're sick. Romans that we heard gives a number of examples, doesn't it? Being faithful in prayer. Sharing with God's people who are in need. Where do I see a need and I can actually be a help? Practicing hospitality. How can I have someone around, have a cup of coffee with them, have them around for a meal, encourage them? Rejoicing with those who rejoice. Weeping with those who weep. Being with people in their circumstances. All of this is Christ-like love in action, isn't it? But actually, that kind of pastoral care, that love, is part of a bigger pastoral life of a church. And this is where the diagram comes in. This is a diagram from PCI, which is really helpful. It comes in the form of a triangle. I've discovered in life, in churches, if you can say things in triangles, it must be true. Great. So triangles are always helpful. Christ-like love in action is part of what we do. It's if you like, going back to the idea we had of the vine and the trellis. It's the fruit of what we do, isn't it? It's the fruit of being rooted in God when we show that love, that Christ-like love to others. And as we do that, we're saying, actually, we're rooted in Jesus. And the practical help we're showing, in the being alongside, in the words we say, We're wanting to show that actually hope and life and wholeness is found in life with Jesus, in being part of his body. But in the bigger picture, it means being rooted in Jesus, as we said, that love of God flows through us. So a bit like the vine needs to be rooted. It talks here about the pastoral core, about the biblical foundation, the framework for our lives, being rooted. We love because he first loved us. That shapes the love we have. We love because he first loved us. That's a dynamic that happens throughout in Scripture. Happens there in that chapter in Romans. Because of God's mercy, so we show that love to others. So to be a caring congregation, we need to be people who are rooted in a biblical understanding of God's love for us. But it also means having supporting structures, a bit like the trellis we talked about last week. How are we a caring fellowship and community? Maybe we think about the culture. What does it mean to have a culture of being a caring, loving fellowship? But the structures we put in place too, like the trellis that helps the vine grow. What do we put in place? The architecture it talks about it here of a caring community. What organization is important to help that love flow from God through us to one another and others? So that's really what I want to think about for pastoral care, and we'll come back to that structure in a moment or two. But let me just address that question of who cares? Who cares? When we talk about caring and you think about pastoral care, who is it that does the caring? And you'll know that word pastoral really comes from the idea of rurality of shepherds and sheep, and so time and again the Bible uses that kind of picture of the shepherd to talk about pastoral care. So when we say who cares, the first thing we've got to remember is that God cares. God cares. The Lord is my shepherd. God cares, even if we think no one else does. Jesus, strong and kind. We can always run to Jesus. Jesus, strong and kind. And that's what we're about. That's what we're rooted in. That's what we want to keep pointing people to, one another to. God cares. Jesus cares. He loves you. The Lord is my shepherd. He's our primary carer. But also leaders care. Leaders in organizations, leaders of a church should care. So Peter says to a whole group of leaders in the church, be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care. The elders here are responsible for ensuring that the flock is cared for. In fact, in the Presbyterian Code, it says the elders should ensure a scheme for pastoral care is in place. Now, that doesn't mean each and every elder should be the only ones doing the kind of practical love in action. But it does mean it's their responsibility and role as leaders to make sure that that trellis, that structure is in place, to make sure that is happening and flowing through all of us. The minister cares. At least he should do, shouldn't he? Part of my role is the care, the pastoral care of souls. Leaders of organizations, to an extent, have a pastoral care. They're looking out for people in the organizations, making sure they're okay, engaged, connected. So God cares. Leaders in the church care. Some people are particularly gifted at caring, too. We read in Romans, didn't we, that some people have a particular gift for serving, for encouraging, for contributing to the needs of others, for showing mercy. Some people we know are really good, aren't they, at caring, at noticing, at engaging. And we're really thankful for them and their pastoral gifts. We want to be able to use those rightly in the church. So leaders and some people are really gifted at caring. But we all care. We all care. Every part of the body is called to care. Love one another as I have loved you, says Jesus to his people, to his disciples, in the context of being the flock, the body, the family. Love one another as I have loved you. Show Christ-like love in action to each other. There's a story of a man who is a member of a church, and one day, not far outside his house, and he lives close by to the church, he sees a fellow walking along the road who's really struggling. It's clear the way he's dressed and the way he looks, he's lacking in food, he's really in need, and he has a bit of compassion for him, and he thinks, I want to help this guy out. I'll phone the church. I'll phone my church because they should be able to help out. So he says to the man, come, well, I'll phone the church. And there's no answer on the phone. He says, well, listen, I'll take you down to the church. It's just along the next street. So he takes him down, but actually the church isn't open at the time. He says, oh, goodness, what am I going to do? So he takes him home and he gives him some food and he gives him some clothes and sends him on his way, warm and well-fed. And he says to the vicar on Sunday, the next Sunday, what's going on there? When I needed the church, what was the church doing? No, he's on the end of the phone. It's shut. And the vicar said to him, you're the church. You're the church. It's not about just what happens in these buildings. It's about each and every one of us showing love to one another, showing love to others. We all care. How do we care, though? Well, on one hand, it happens organically, doesn't it? Naturally, we do things for one another. There are millions of stories of how that happens in St. Paul Road. I hear some of them occasionally. I hear wonderful stories of how somebody has written a note or someone's visited or kept on visiting someone or they had someone around for a meal, or they provided them with food, or cared in one way or another. That happens naturally, organically, as the life of Jesus, the love of Jesus flows through us. May that happen more and more. That is the culture we want to encourage and thrive. It doesn't need to be structured, it doesn't need to be planned, it doesn't need to be a central thing of the church. That we care for one another, that we notice one another, that we look out for one another, that no one falls through the gaps. May that happen more and more. And may nothing I say about structure crush that, but actually encourage that to happen organically. How do we look out for and care for one another? But caring also happens in the pastoral life of the church as we come together. When we worship together, that is pastoral care. We come to encourage one another. We come into a place where actually, whatever's been going on for our lives, and maybe for lots of us, different difficult things are going on. But we come to a moment where with other people, we come and we realign and renew our hearts and our minds and our lives with God, who speaks into our situations in the songs we sing, in the prayers that we pray together, in the words that we hear. God speaks and says, I want to address, I want to care for you in your situation as we worship together. This is a primary form of pastoral care, being along together and worshiping. Is really important for our life and our care together. It happens too, doesn't it, in groups like life groups, when we gather and share and pray for one another and share lives and spend time together. In organizations, see, pastoral care happens, doesn't it, when the needlecraft groups sit around and chat with one another and encourage one another and provide company and that social context, or in Tuesday break, and Tiny Tots, all these pastoral care is happening. It happens through particular people, doesn't it, in ministries. So maybe the minister, or maybe Johnny, or Jill, or Andrew, our assistant minister, when he comes, are people who might do particular pastoral care and see people and visit and chat with people and have coffee. It happens through particular ministries, maybe prayer ministry, maybe a food or a flower ministry, maybe things like grief share, or a parenting course. That's all pastoral care happening, addressing the needs of our lives in God's ways. But it's also really good and important to have a structured system. So all these other ways that happen organically or through particular people or in particular groups, that maybe works for individuals, it maybe works for groups, it works if you're able to turn up to church. But how does this work for the pastoral life of all of us? How is everyone, I wish I could use Billy's poll there, how is everyone right up here included? How do we structure things to as best as possible ensure that no one falls through the gaps, that love and that life reaches everyone, that they're connected, that they're engaged? Well, that's the practical thing I want to talk to you about this morning. So if you turn over your sheet, let me talk to you about pastorates. I want to talk to you about a new or sort of renewed structure or system that we want to put into place here at St. Fold Road. And something that's not to change any else of what I've talked about in terms of organically this happening, in terms of people and individuals, in terms of groups and other ministries. But just one level of our pastoral care that happens here at St. Phil Road. And I want to talk about it really as an upgrade of a system we already have, a continuing of developing a geographical district system that we have. So you'll know, and we have, similar to many Presbyterian churches, a kind of district system. So we currently have 15 districts. They're broadly geographical, so some people live in similar areas, but others are kind of mixed in there. It's a little bit complicated how they're made up. They have one or two elders looking after them, or one or two committee members, although sometimes that can take a strain in putting people in those different districts to lead and enable that to happen. There's about 15 to 20 families in each. That's how it works at the moment. But what we want to look at is developing that trellis system. Continue working on that. I know that's the sort of thing that's been worked on before. If you've been around at St. Phil Road for a while, you've probably seen the system change or move around before, and here we are for an upgrade of this. As I come to this, I want to note some things that are really important, that we've noted are really important to think about as we think about a structure that's helpful. One, as we've mentioned, is comprehensiveness. I'm not actually sure that comprehensiveness is a word. It is now. I'm using it. Comprehensiveness, all in. It includes everyone. Whatever structure we have needs to include everyone. no gaps. It's going to have capacity. And what I mean by that is that sometimes the structure we've had at the moment puts a bit of a strain on a number of people, on elders. Sometimes it's not always using people's gifts that could be used. Sometimes it's leaving people isolated in the responsibilities they feel they have. It's interesting to note that a whole number of churches are kind of looking at the district system and thinking, how do we restructure this in maybe better ways? But actually, as we think about the body, how do we use people's gifts? How do we work together in teams, in pastoral care, in ways that actually better reflect what it is to be the body and have capacity to care for one another? Community's really important. Building a sense of life together with Jesus, to which we all belong. Giving opportunities for building togetherness, relationship. Can a structure offer opportunities for that? Connectivity, we've talked about. Actually feeling that sense of connection with the church family. Helping people feel connected and engaged. Noticing when people aren't so connected or engaged. Helping to draw people in, new people in, people who have lost their way of being around. How do we help them feel connected? And again, we talked about before, culture. Being an increasingly welcoming, caring fellowship. Which isn't me saying we're an uncaring and welcoming fellowship, but how are we an increasingly caring and welcoming fellowship? We did a bit of that wearing badges recently, didn't we? How do we know each other's names and spend a bit of time talking to one another and getting to know one another? These things are really important. We've wanted to reflect them as we've thought about pastorates. So what we're looking to do is to, instead of having 15 districts, all numbered 1 to 15, is to have 3 pastorates. They're kind of bigger areas. People have talked about them as super districts, but what I want to call them is pastorates. For the sake of argument, we're going to call them red, green, and blue. I haven't thought of any fancier names than that at the moment, and red, green, and blue seems all pretty nice and straightforward. You'll see on this picture, and on you won't be able to make it out very well on your sheets, but I kind of plotted, had a bit of fun plotting where everybody in St. Phil Road lives. So there's a little marker there for you. Now, people have moved since I've done this, so and if you can spot yourself, you're doing well. But that is pretty much everybody. According to their postcode, living around St. Phil Road. And try to think then geographically, because geographically is the best way we can include everyone, isn't it? Because everyone lives somewhere. So the second picture, maybe you can show that up, Chris, is a way of breaking that down to 3 geographical districts. And if you can't make out those lines, what it basically looks like is there's one line that goes along the St. Phil Road and one line that goes up the Cairns Hill Road. So if you are, if you live somewhere in that section between the St. Phil Road going up that way and the Cairns Hill Road, that's red. If you live somewhere beneath the Cairns Hill Road but along the St. Phil Road, that's green. If you live the other side of the St. Phil Road, that's blue. If you live in St. Phil, I think that's green. But, you know, we'll work that out. So there's 3 districts, very straightforward. Red, green, and blue. There are about 80 to 100 families, or households in each. They're based where we live, and so that's what helps it to be comprehensive. That's what makes it straightforward for you to know which one you're in. Well, because I live there. So it makes it very straightforward when new people come and say, oh, that's great, we'll put you in that district. You're red because you live there. Green, blue. In those districts, there's going to be a team. A team looking after pastoral care. That's going to include sort of 4 to 6 elders, a couple of whom will be the team leaders. They include other members of committee, lots of people already involved in that already, and other members of our church, and people particularly with pastoral gifts. So it'll be like a team of 12 or 16. So no longer will it be sort of 1 or 2 elders or committee members, but a team of 12 to 16 people overseeing that district. And working as a team, there'll be that support and encouragement and different gifts. So various people can use their various gifts to look out for different, maybe collections or connections of people throughout the pastorate. So that much better helps our capacity, doesn't it? As people work together in teams and using their gifts. Actually, teams better identifying the pastoral needs within a pastorate. Creating opportunities, maybe for fellowship. So let's get some of these folk together and get them together at the church. Maybe have a bit of a barbecue for the pastorate. And some people who are more connected can be looking out for some people who are a bit less connected. Maybe some people within the team, maybe someone will say, yeah, I'll look out for those few people who are just a bit sick at the moment. I'll keep touch with them. Maybe someone will say, actually, there's a number of families around about church. I'm going to check in with them once in a while, just make sure things are going okay. But they're around and about connected, but just check they're doing all right. Maybe a member of the team will say, there's three or four folks who are housebound, and I'm going to kind of more regularly visit them, pray with them, read the Bible. It adds a certain creativity and flexibility about how we care for and look after one another. So there's the comprehensiveness, there's that capacity, there's a chance to build that community and connection within those pastorates. That is what we're looking to establish from September onwards. On one hand, it's a change, but on the other hand, it's a continuity of what we do. It looks like geographical districts, but in a slightly different way. It looks like working in teams using the broader gifts of people in this congregation. I hope it'll provide opportunities to build community and connection, to look out for those who sometimes fall through the gaps. And sometimes in the systems and structures we have, we thought about that with Jethro last week, things get bottlenecked, don't they? We hope this is a system that will help things get less bottlenecked and care to flow. Over the coming months, we can continue to be concerned with some of the practicalities of this and accountability and communication and reporting and training. If you've ever put a system in at work or that sort of thing, you know all these things are important to think about as we structure that, and we'll put those together. But at this point, I want to leave this with you. I've given you an introduction to it. The red, the blue, the green pastorates. Bigger groups, teams working. We'll look in September to say more about this, to communicate with everyone, to help you know which pastorate you're going to be in, what that team looks like, who's part of your pastorate. Probably have lovely pictures and posters up around the place so you know who's around and about. As I leave this with you, I want just to sit with you for you to have a think. Okay, what kind of questions or comments do you have from what Ben's said? Because that will be really helpful as you come back and say, oh, Ben, that wasn't clear. And I'll say, great, I'll try and say it more clearly later. Or, Ben, just talk to me about that a bit. Oh, how's that going to work out? And I'll say, well, that's a great question. We haven't figured that out yet. Or we have, and let me talk to you about that. So this is the first stage in communicating more of this with you. We'll say more as the months go on and look to kind of get it going in September. When change happens, you and I know that sometimes throws things up in the air. We don't always get things right when it begins. So there'll be changes and tweaks you have to make. It's going to need some patience and grace from us all. So please be prepared to give that. But we do really think and believe this will be a helpful way of restructuring just part of our pastoral life in a way that helps us all and helps us care for one another. How can you be involved? And that's the second question and the last question I want to leave with you. Well, maybe you sit there and God's stirring up in some way. You say, yeah, I'd love to be in some way involved practically or pastorally in the church, and I haven't had that opportunity, and maybe this offers me that. I'd love to hear from you. Or Jean or Derek, who've been helping me in this, would love to hear from you. There's a place for everybody to do something and care, isn't there? But let me say to you, how can you be involved? Well, we all are involved. We all care. We love because he, Christ, first loved us. So let me encourage each and every one of us, no matter what structures we have or don't have, what we change and what we don't change, the calling on all of us is to love as Christ has loved us. Thank you for your patience and grace as I introduce some of that to you. I know it takes a bit of new information and detail, but it's important for all of us to hear and journey together on. Let me pray, and then we're going to sing together. Loving God, we thank you that you have loved us. Father, you have made us and you know us inside out. Lord Jesus, you have given yourself for us. Spirit, you walk with us, each one of us and us as your people day by day. We thank you for your love for us. Lord, build our love for you. And may that love flow to one another and to others around us. Lord, as we continue to reflect on how we best love each other, help us to keep rooted in you. Help us to reflect on what Christ-like love in action looks like. We pray you help us to be wise in the structures we build to support the life that is among us by your Spirit. Help these to be good and helpful and supportive and encouraging. Lord, keep us as your people, naturally loving one another, looking out for one another, noticing one another, helping each other find life and hope and wholeness in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together about our God, the servant king. So let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him. We're going to have coffee, talk about this over coffee, talk to one another over coffee. Another great moment for pastoral care and fellowship. But now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.